From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. The upright love thee. Believers love Jesus with a deeper affection than they dare to give to any other being. They would sooner lose father and mother than part with Christ. They hold all earthly comforts with a loose hand, but they carry Him fast locked in their bosoms. They voluntarily deny themselves for His sake, but they are not to be driven to deny Him. It is scant love which the fire of persecution can dry up. The true believer's love is a deeper stream than this. Men have labored to divide the faithful from their master, but their attempts have been fruitless in every age. Neither crowns of honor nor frowns of anger have untied this more than Gordian knot. This is no everyday attachment which the world's power may at length dissolve. Neither man nor devil have found a key which opens this lock. Never has the craft of Satan been more at fault than when he's exercised it in seeking to rend in sunder this union of two divinely welded hearts. It is written, and nothing can blot out the sentence, "The upright love thee." The intensity of the love of the upright, however, is not so much to be judged by what it appears as by what the upright long for. It is our daily lament that we cannot love enough. Would that our hearts were capable of holding more and reaching further. Like Samuel Rutherford, we sigh and cry, "Oh, for as much love as would go round about the earth and over heaven, yea, the heaven of heavens and 10,000 worlds, that I might let all out upon fair, fair, only fair Christ." Alas, our longest reach is but a span of love, and our affection is but as a drop of a bucket compared with His deserts. Measure our love by our intentions, and it is high indeed. 'Tis thus we trust our Lord doth judge of it. Oh, that we could give all the love in all hearts in one great mass, a gathering together of all loves, to Him who is altogether lovely.
Exalting you, I come before your throne, rejoicing.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his third message in this series on the law of God. As he began the series, Dr. Cairns explained why God gave his law. We saw that he did so in order to show men their accountability to him, and that his law is the only standard for right and wrong. In the second message, we learned that God's law is permanent. It has existed since the beginning of time and has never been abrogated. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who ever kept God's law perfectly, and it is only by faith in him that sinners find acceptance before God. In this third message, Dr. Cairns deals with the spirituality of God's law. It deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motives, thoughts, and actions. We'll see that the law embodies both negative and positive precepts that affect every area of life. God's standard is perfect obedience, something which man in himself can never achieve. Again, the answer is found in the perfect obedience of Christ. Now to introduce this message, the spirituality of the law, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is a text of Scripture in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans and in the 14th verse that I think more than adequately sums up the entire Bible reading in Matthew chapter 5. The apostle says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But we know that the law is spiritual." Human self-righteousness is truly an amazing thing. It's as unblushing as it is universal. A little child needs absolutely no training to act the part of the innocent or to blame its wrongdoing on someone else. And as we grow older, that is an ability that we never lose. For all of us by nature, it's a very natural thing to evade the responsibility of our sins, to measure ourselves by other people, to shift the blame of our own wrongdoing onto others, sometimes to make others feel bad for their wrongdoing, and in some way thereby to shield ourselves from accusation about our own. Indeed, we even compliment ourselves on a moral goodness that is entirely imaginary. And we even expect God to reward us on that imaginary basis. Every one of us has lived through what I can only call a cultural and an ethical revolution that has made old-fashioned immorality acceptable in America. Shame is almost a forgotten thing in this country, and certainly it appears to be an entirely forgotten thing in the public life of this country. We have just been treated to yet another filthy scandal coming right out of the White House. What is the result? After a couple of days of hiding and a lot of eulogizing in the public press, a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, and a twister is now the recipient of a multi-million dollar publishing deal. Such is the desire of the American public for every salacious and filthy detail of perverted lies that shame seems to be a thing of the past. And yet in this age of almost untrammeled wickedness, people have the gall to sound shocked and hurt at the very thought that perhaps God may be angry with them. If you want to prove the accuracy of that observation, you try suggesting that AIDS is a divine judgment on sodomy and the sodomite community. And you will find that the public censure, the opprobrium that is not visited upon the sodomite, will very quickly be visited on you. You see, the truth is that by nature man is a very self-righteous sinner, and he doesn't face up to the reality and the nature of his sin very well. He has believed the lie that even God really doesn't have much reason to be displeased with him. I say the lie because despite all the vaporings of religious liberals and rationalists, it is a lie. People who have never faced up to the enormity of their sin in the sight of a holy God would need to pay attention and give an ear to God's law. That's why during these Sabbath evenings we are taking time to study the subject of the law of God. People who have no deep consciousness of sin would need to stand at Mount Sinai and hear God's thundering forth of the proclamation of the law. And then they would need to come to the New Testament and stand at Mount Calvary and see God's evidence of the penalty of the law. In effect, in the Bible reading that we did tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ set about the task of making people face up to the true meaning of the law of God. That's why we read this passage. It's a very vital passage of Scripture. never more so than in the age in which we live. If I could sum up what the Savior is saying in Matthew chapter 5, He comes to you and me as He did to the people of His own day, and He says, do not let the well-known phrases of the law dull your conscience. You've grown up listening to the wording of the Ten Commandments. There is an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Do not allow the familiarity that you have made with the wording of the law to dull your conscience to the true meaning of God's law. Do not hide behind a superficial regard for God's law. The Lord Jesus says, in effect, I have come to make you face the full force of the holy, just, and good law of God. Listen to me very carefully tonight. No man who is unwilling to face the full force of the law of God is willing to have God's grace in the gospel as it is offered to him in Christ. Christ comes. He says, in effect, if you are not willing to face the full force of God's law, you are deceiving yourself, and you will pay for that deception with the loss of your soul in the fires of God's hell for all eternity. That was the essential message of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. As you follow the preaching of His apostles, you'll discover that they preached the same truth. I have taken a text tonight from the writings of the Apostle Paul, Romans 7 and 14, in which he really sums up the message of our Bible reading. The law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. I want tonight, and it is my prayer before God, I want tonight every man and woman and young person in this meeting to memorize those few words, and I pray God that He will emblazon them unforgettably upon the fleshy tables of your heart, that He will write them upon your mind, that there will never again throughout your life be a day when you will forget the law of God is spiritual. The doctrine of that statement can be very easily set forth in a simple sentence. The law of God searches to the depths of our soul, and it utterly destroys every vestige of self-satisfaction and self-righteousness. The law of God searches to the depths of our soul, and it destroys every vestige of self-satisfaction or self-righteousness. That is what theologians call the spirituality of the law of God. That's the subject that I want us to consider this evening. In doing so, I have a very few, very simple, but very, very far-reaching observations to make. First, the law of God is spiritual in its search of the soul. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The commandment of God is a lamp. The law of God is like a searchlight in the soul. The Apostle Paul took this up in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 12. He says it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let me stop for a moment. That statement is as true today as it was in the days of the apostle. The fact that we live in a godless and shameless society does not change the truth of that statement from the Word of God. We live in a day when every filthy detail of every godless lifestyle is dragged forth. It becomes the titillating subject of talk shows. It is emblazoned in newspaper articles. It is carried on television and radio and in literature. But God says it is a shame that these things should even be talked about. But then he says, but all things that are reproved, everything that God condemns, he says they are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God takes his holy law and he beams it like a high-powered searchlight from heaven into every corner of the soul. The law is spiritual in its search of the soul. The law shines the light of absolute truth into every part of the life. It regulates our behavior. That is the clear object of God's law. God says, thou shalt, and thou shalt not. That is the true regulator of our actions. The question is not what is fashionable. The question is not what is acceptable to man. The question is not even what is legal in the eyes of men. The question is not what is easy. The question is not what is profitable in the short term. What is going to gain me more of this world's acclaim or this world's wealth? The question is, what does the law of God command? This moral law of God is the permanent regulator of our behavior. My friend, you do well to remember that, and so do I. You do well to bring your behavior this evening, not to compare it with somebody else's, not to see how well it fits in with the mindset of this ungodly age, but bring your behavior and put it side by side with the tables of the permanent law of God and see what God's law has to say about what you're doing.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.